Our guest today says the ruling class will not go quietly into the night. What does she mean?
Ruling class is Washington, D.C. It's the bubble, or what's called the swamp. It is the people who are the denizens of Washington who are permanently there, and they believe in big government, and they believe in an unending supply of our money going into Washington, D.C., so they can spend it however they best see fit, and the American people are tired of that.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Jan meets today with former U.S. Congressional Representative Michelle Bachmann. Jan caught up with Michelle recently while she was in New York City. Their conversation is something you do not want to miss. Just a few weeks away, on October 7, Michelle will be addressing the 2017 Understanding the Times Conference. Come and hear Michelle in person. Let's get started now with today's discussion. Here is Jan Markell.
And welcome to the program. I call it Radio for the Remnant, Understanding the Times Radio. And I'm going to be joined here momentarily by a very special and familiar voice, actually. Michelle Bachmann is one of my speakers at Understanding the Times 2017. We'll say more about that as we move into the hour. And we've got a number of issues we want to touch on in kind of a short time. So I'm going to hope that and pray that we can just move along with probably three, four, five different topics. And Michelle, welcome back to Understanding the Times Radio.
Jan, thank you so much. Fun to be here today.
And this time I've caught up with you in New York City, and we'll explain why here a little bit later. But let me start out here, and let me pose a couple of scenarios to you and get your response. And I have made the observation, and I think you would concur, it seems like the West Wing of the White House is kind of now run by the left wing. Leftists are in charge. Conservatives in the Trump administration in high positions are quickly disappearing. It seems to me, and I'm get your response here, that the leftists are undercutting President Trump's agenda, and I would particularly look at a couple of them, including Jared Kushner. And then I've got a couple of quotes by you, and I want you to expound on them. You said to me, the ruling class will not go quietly into the night. Let's stop right there and have you explain what you mean by that.
Yeah, this is what I mean. The ruling class is Washington, D.C. It's the bubble, or what's called the swamp. It is the people who are the denizens of Washington who are permanently there, and they believe in big government, and they believe in an unending supply of our money going into Washington, D.C., so they can spend it however they best see fit, and the American people are tired of that. That's what I meant by that.
Mm-hmm. And we also communicated both verbally and some email, and you said this to me. Now, let me sort of preclude what I'm going to say by stating that in the last 10 days or so, there's been some, quite frankly, for many weeks, there's been some troubling things going on in the Trump administration. We're going to talk about some of that. And a couple of other things you said to me, quite frankly, you said there's no one left in D.C. who even remembers the reason why there was a miraculous election on November the 8th. And then you went on to say that the people thought Donald Trump was an outsider who was brave enough to say that what the people actually were thinking, meaning an end to illegal immigration, repeal of Obamacare, let's keep radical Islam out of America. And then you went on to say a couple of things that startled me. D.C. is a living nightmare for the sane voters who tried to save the country in November. And then you concluded, you said, no one around President Trump is telling him the truth. Let's go back and have you explain what you mean by no one left in D.C. who even remembers the reason why there was a miraculous election on November 8th.
Well, we all know that there was a miraculous election, that God gave us a reprieve by putting Donald Trump into the White House. We were very excited about that. I absolutely believe that it was the vote of evangelical Christians who put President Trump over the top. And I do believe that his gut instincts are good and right for the country. But we all know from Scripture that the counselors who speak into the president's ears are critically important, especially because Donald Trump has been an extremely successful man, both with property development in New York City, and also with being the king of the entertainment industry in New York City with The Apprentice and the Celebrity Apprentice television shows. He was number one, and he had made it to the top. When it comes to policy, this is a new venue mm-hmm. for him, but he made it to the top all the way to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I believe without a shadow of a doubt that he is the one who needs to be there. However, those who are around the President of the United States, many of them are very liberal Democrats by background. And the advice that he's been given, and we take that advice by looking at the policy that's coming out of the White House, it's more reflective of what has been coming out of the left as opposed to conservatives. That's why people are very concerned, because when we lose elections, we understand that the radical left policies will go forward, and that is grievous.
Right.
But when we win elections, we usually think that conservative policy will come out of the White House. But it seems like even when we win, sometimes we're losing. And that is disheartening, I think, for voters, and especially to think that the top advisors to the President of the United States seem to be coming from a perspective that is not in line with the president's goals. You just iterated them when you said that the president wanted to end illegal immigration into the United States and build a wall. He wanted to repeal Obamacare. And third, he wanted to keep radical Islam out of the United States. The voters agreed with him. Mm-hmm. They said, finally, somebody is speaking sanity. They put him in the White House. And now we're seeing different results, and that's very disheartening to the voter.
Well, you say D.C. is a living nightmare for the same voters who tried to save the country in November, and I want you to expound on that. But I realize over the weeks, we've kind of been reeling from some things. We've got the DACA decision, which I think is, we don't know how that's going to play out yet, but just all sorts of things. And again, it goes back to my open that the West Wing kind of is now the left wing. But D.C., a living nightmare for the same voters? Explain.
Well, D.C. is a living nightmare in that the voters went to the polls. They did exactly what they were supposed to do. They gave money, they volunteered, they voted. And they voted believing that the biblical values that they stand for would be implemented in Washington, D.C., because that's what the elected officials promised.
Right.
Now, we're seeing something completely different. So
yeah.
It's a living nightmare in that those officials, in about 5 seconds, forgot what they said they were going to do. And so the living nightmare that is going on is that all that we believed, all that we hoped, in what we wanted at the ballot box, now we're hearing something completely different from the Republicans in Washington, D.C.
That's right.
That's disheartening.
That is
very disheartening. We expected that from the Democrats. And I hate to say it in a broad-based way, because you'd hope that some Democrats would feel a little bit more conservative. You would hope that there'd be more bipartisanship. There's very little bipartisanship that goes on some of these bigger issues. On smaller, inconsequential issues, certainly there's bipartisanship.
Okay. You and I have talked about the fact that there are so many Obama holdovers that remain, and they're also holding up a more conservative agenda. Does President Donald Trump, can he not get rid of some of these Obama holdovers?
Oh, he absolutely should. And I think actually Donald Trump is probably a very effective leader of heading up an organization. And I don't quite understand in many ways why Paul Ryan, who's the head of the House of Representatives, and Mitch McConnell, mm-hmm. who's the head of the United States Senate, I don't really understand why President Trump hasn't been able to get them to go along with President Trump's agenda. After all, that's the winning agenda.
Yes.
The agenda that President Trump wants to advance, which again is stop illegal immigration, pass repeal of Obamacare, and keep yeah. radical Islam out of the United States. Tax reform comes below that, and also religious liberty, standing for Israel. Mm-hmm. Those are all the big issues that got President Donald Trump into office. If Paul Ryan is an impediment, and if Mitch McConnell is an impediment, and they certainly give every indication that they are to achieving this agenda, I'm really surprised that Donald Trump, with his skills, hasn't been able to get better cooperation out of those two. And really, at this point, I'm actually, I don't know if blame is the right word, but I really call on the rank and file members of U.S. House and U.S. Senate. It's up to them. When you have Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell mm-hmm. standing in the way of the people's voice, mm-hmm. then it's up to each of these members to say, you know, if you can't go along with what the people said last November 8th, then maybe these leaders need to go.
Yeah.
Maybe Paul Ryan needs to go. Maybe Mitch McConnell needs to go. Yeah. And we need to get somebody else in there who's going to fulfill the will of the people.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Radio. I'm Jan Markell, and I have on the line today from New York City, Michelle Bachmann. As you know, she served in Congress from 2006 to, I believe, January 1st, 2015. She ran for president in 2012. She's one of my speakers at Understanding the Times 2017, along with Amir Sarfati, Pastor J.D. Farag, and Dr. Mark Hitchcock, right outside Minneapolis, Minnesota, Grace Church, Eden Prairie, Minnesota, and that's Saturday, October the 7th. And Michelle, right after the devastation of Hurricane Harvey, and actually before the devastation of Hurricane Irma, President Trump declared a National Day of Prayer. Evangelicals met with him in the Oval Office. I don't believe you were there, but there were a number of them there, including Pastor Robert Jeffress and others, and they prayed at that time and then declared the following Sunday to be a day of prayer for America and for those harmed by some of our natural disasters. And quite frankly, all focus has been on two hurricanes. We have the West on fire, which is tragic beyond our words and beyond our comprehension. And to those of you living in the West, we know what you're going through. It's just the cameras have not been there. Nonetheless, Michelle, you said to me that the prayer effort in the Oval Office, this is a couple of 3 weeks ago now, was not a photo op, that Donald Trump believes in prayer.
Amen. And you saw that evident with Robert Jeffress's wonderful prayer. President Trump understands what a wonderful man of God Robert Jeffress is, and that's why I believe he had Robert Jeffress offer the prayer. He is the pastor of First Baptist in Dallas, and just as solid as a believer
good
can possibly
here.
Be. President Trump has a lot of trust and faith in his Faith Executive Advisory Committee, and they're trying to widen that committee. I was in the initial, 30 people in the original Executive Advisory Committee, and they're trying to add more people and bring more in who are godly leaders in our country. Now, think of that. That didn't happen in the previous 8 years under Barack Obama. This really is a first, where the White House is seeking out pastors to come into the Oval Office for prayer and for being a part of this Executive Advisory Committee, because quite simply, President Trump recognizes the power of prayer and that he is a man under authority. That's why this has really mixed the Trump administration. President Trump himself, I have great admiration and respect for. I believe that his gut is exactly right. He is humble before the Lord. That's how I have observed him, as a man who isn't just a photo op. He's not doing this as a gimmick. This is real for him. Behind closed doors for 16 years, he had regular input from pastors and a spiritual pastoral advisor. So this is when no one was looking, when he wasn't even involved in politics, when he was just a business guy. He was seeking out after God. So I think this is something that should give us great hope. But again, you and I have talked about this on air before with your listeners. What is so important and crucial for us as believers, this is where we come in. We are commanded, as Paul told us, to be in prayer for those in authority. And we need to be in prayer, serious prayer, for godly advisors to speak into the president's ears. I truly believe, Jan, that if godly advisors would speak into the president's ear, we would see an end to this stumble bumble that seems to go on. And I think we would not see decisions come out where one day the White House view is on one side of an issue, and on the next day the White House comes on the other side of the issue. Nobody knows what to believe. I think that would stop if we had godly advisors speaking into the president's ear. That's a real lack, in my opinion, in the White House today. I have confidence in our president. I have confidence in our vice president. But again, our president has not been steeped in policy. And so he has good gut instincts, but he needs godly wisdom. So we need to be in prayer. You know, God puts people in and he removes them. He's the Most High God, as the book of Daniel says.
Yes.
So we need godly advisors speaking into the president's ear.
And look at the, how do I want to say it, the crises that face not just the country, but really the world. I mean, here and within our borders, as I already alluded to, we've had endless trauma this past summer and fall. We've got threats from the outside, with North Korea, Iran, Russia. I could go on and on. My head spins at all the things that they weren't ramped up to this level until more recently, and I kind of think it's the birth pangs that are intensifying.
There's no question because of the convergence of events. It isn't just those things, but also the debauchery that goes on here in the United States, the falling immorality that is occurring. If you look at all of these convergence of events that the Bible speaks so clearly of, I think that is why your listeners are paying more attention mm-hmm. to your radio show and what your guests have to say than ever, because they feel it too. Your listeners read the Bible. They understand the Word of God, and they want to understand it even more. They want to draw closer to the things of God. And so when they hear what these messages are, even though they may be messages that things are falling apart in the world, they're also messages of great hope, that the Bible is true and altogether right, and we can trust the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And that's why our oil lamps need to be filled. That's why our wicks have to be trimmed. It's why we need to spend more, not less, time on our knees. Mm-hmm. This isn't the time to give up and just buy a, you know, food preparation and head for the hills. This is the time for us to be prepping before God. We need to prep before God, because there's a lot of ministry that's happening right now across the world, because the hour is short. Mm-hmm. Satan knows that too.
Yes.
And that's why we see this explosion of events across the world, because Satan, who comes to kill, steal, and destroy, he is ramping up because his time is short. But yet God is bigger, and he is a defeated foe. And so we need to take our place and our authority as believers in Jesus Christ to do the loving acts of kindness that we are called to do, but also to be fervent in prayer.
Well, here's where I want to go with the time that we have left. I want to touch a little bit here on the situation with Israel. I see some very troubling things on the horizon. Frankly, I'm looking at a headline that says State Department demands that Israel return millions in military aid. That's something that Rex Tillerson has been involved in the last month or so. That troubles me greatly. I know that at the UN, and you're going to be talking to us in a moment or two a little bit about what you're going to be doing at the United Nations, but I see that in the coming days, there's going to be more talks on the two-state solution, and the two-state solution and land for peace leaves Israel in pieces, and it always leads to a nightmare. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that. Are you at all familiar with the situation with Tillerson asking that, and the White House asking Israel return $75 million in military aid?
Yes, I am. And this was a creation of Barack Obama. He wanted a long-term deal with Israel, with U.S. foreign aid going to Israel. And what he was trying to do is handcuff the U.S. Congress and handcuff Israel from even coming to the United States and requesting aid. So think of that. Our greatest ally, Israel, if they were under attack, mm-hmm. they would be prevented under Barack Obama's funding mechanism from even coming to us and asking for help in their greatest hour of need. Well, when this bill passed, because it was all Democrat control under President Obama at that time, when that funding bill happened for Israel, Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina added an extra $75 million on top for Israel. Well, the Obama holdovers, unfortunately, who still work in the State Department under Rex Tillerson, they're asking that $75 million come back. Well, for what? For spite. They want to take their thumb and put it in Israel's eyes. The Secretary of State, in my opinion, should say, forget it, that's never going to happen. And the President of the United States should say, that is not going to happen under my watch. In fact, if I was president, I would disavow that agreement that Barack Obama came up with, because no president can bind the next president. No president can bind the next or future Congresses. And that's what Barack Obama was trying to do. He was, so to speak, trying to rule from the grave, once he left office. And I don't mean that literally. I mean just on his successors who are governing. So this is not a good thing. And so this is an area, again, where I think it'd be very important if the Trump administration understood the concept of Genesis 12:3, that individuals are blessed when they bless Israel, but nations are blessed when mm-hmm. they bless Israel. And we need to remember the scripture that speaks that one day all nations will be called to the valley of decision, mm-hmm. the valley of Jehoshaphat. And just as we as individuals will be judged based upon how we treated Israel, so too the nations of the world will also be judged as to how they treated Zion and the people of Zion. And the scripture is very clear that the Lord himself will separate the goats from the sheep, the goat nation from the sheep nation, depending on how they treated Israel. And it's incumbent upon the United States to remain in this position of being a blessing toward the Jewish state.
Well, I know you're going to try to contribute to that with a kind of a new challenge and venture that you have, and we'll get into that in my next and then my third segment as well. And I need to go back. When we come back, I want to go back to a statement issued by Brigitte Gabriel of Act for America. We're going to do that as soon as I get back. Don't go away, folks. I'm coming back in just a couple of minutes.
Thanks to all of you who've joined us for today's edition of Understanding the Times. You are making this program one of the most listened to weekend broadcasts in America. We are thrilled that more and more listeners are discovering who we are. You may have noticed we do not shy away from the important issues of our times. Our no-nonsense approach to biblical truths related to current events allows us to grow our radio and worldwide web audiences. We invite you to become a financial partner with us. Help us challenge this nation to come back to the God of the Bible. To order an audio copy of today's broadcast, phone 763-559-4444. You can always listen to this program as often as you like online at olivetreeviews.org. You can help underwrite this listener-supported ministry when you send your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. In just a moment, Jan returns with more conversation with Michelle Bachman. We're now just weeks away from Understanding the Times 2017, Saturday, October 7, Eden Prairie, Minnesota, just outside of Minneapolis. No registration needed, and there is no conference fee to attend. Consider joining thousands from across America for this annual event of like-minded believers as we focus on current events and anticipate what the Bible calls our blessed hope. Speakers include Amir Sarfati.
Everything is different, and it's amazing because the world is on the brink of something big. And I'm not saying that. You watch your news, you read your newspapers, and you'll see it yourself.
Dr. Mark Hitchcock.
And God has also set forth for us some of the signs or the things we can look for as we approach the end times. And the Bible tells us that there are discernible signs of the times that are going to portend the Lord's coming.
Pastor J.D. Farag.
By the way, in chapters 1, 2, and 3, the word church is mentioned 19 times. And you don't find the word church mentioned again from chapter 4, verse 1 on through the rest of the book.
And Michelle Bachman.
We are in your face with jihad. We are in your face in that we are going to conquer you, and our values will prevail, Islamic values, not your values. That's what we need to understand. They are literally at war against the West.
Be sure to make hotel reservations soon as they fill up early. We're looking forward to meeting you Saturday, October 7, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Grace Church, Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Call us for more details, 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444, or just visit the conference page at our website, olivetreeviews.org. See you on October 7. We live in unprecedented times, and we'll help you understand them.
Using the language radical Islam was a good thing for President Trump to do because he communicated, it was code language to normal, sane Americans, that there is a real problem with Islam in the United States. And these radical elements, as we all see, are completely unacceptable and antithetical to an American way of life. But what would be even more important than using the code language of radical Islam would be if President Trump would announce that he is going to designate the Muslim Brotherhood a foreign terrorist organization.
Jan's discussion this hour is with former Congresswoman Michelle Bachman. Michelle will be one of the featured speakers at next month's Understanding the Times conference. We hope to see many of you at Grace Church, Eden Prairie, Minnesota, on October 7. Let's return to today's conversation. Once again, Jan Markell.
Remember, this program is posted to my website every Saturday, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. Just go to radio and complete archives. Every Saturday morning, a new program is posted. And if you'd like to stay in touch with me, best way is, you can do that on our Facebook, Jan Markell's Olive Tree Ministries, Twitter, Olive Tree Men. We have a print and an e-newsletter. Learn more online. To my Twin Cities audience, can I make an announcement to you? Holocaust survivor Anita Dittman, she's still speaking. She's 90 years old. To my Twin Cities audience, she's going to be at Northfield Evangelical Free Church this Sunday, September 24th at 6 p.m. Northfield E Free Church, 5600 East 110th Street, Northfield, 6 p.m., September 24th, Anita Dittman will be sharing her wonderful, marvelous, and stunning story with all of you in the Twin Cities if you'd like to turn out to that. No registration needed, just show up to Northfield E Free Church Sunday, 6 p.m., September 24th. I'm talking for the hour with Michelle Bachman. She's one of my speakers, Understanding the Times 2017, and she's been doing a lot of things in the years, couple of years since she's stepped down from, well, the national limelight of Congresswoman from Minnesota's 6th District for a number of years, ran for president 2012. We are now talking about, the Trump administration doing some things that are a bit perplexing. So since she's a conference speaker, wanted to talk to her about a lot of these issues. Michelle, Brigitte Gabriel, and I've known Brigitte for, I think, 12 years now, and she says this: something stunning has happened in the Trump presidency regarding radical Islam. And then she goes on to say, she says, Brigitte Gabriel, president of Act for America, author of They Must Be Stopped, goes on to say that Trump's failure to mention radical Islamic terrorism, and for that matter, any of his men and women in high position on 9/11, now a few weeks ago, simply stunned her. If I could play a 2-minute soundbite and get your response to it, please.
But yesterday, it was obvious that something has happened in the Trump presidency that has changed and changed dramatically. When I listened to the speeches yesterday, like you mentioned, by all the leaders in the administration, by Trump, by Mattis, by Pence, it would have literally been a speech, especially the president's speech, a speech that could have been uttered by President Obama himself. Literally.
Wow.
It could have been a speech read by President Obama, or if Hillary would have won the presidency, it would have read by President Hillary Clinton. I did not expect that out of President Trump. I expected that out of Hillary Clinton, but not President Trump. This is a huge shift from the president that the American public, over 60 million people, came out and supported and voted for and got him elected in a shocking election. And I believe yesterday, almost all of them felt the betrayal by this president. It is really a shame. But having said all that, just to look at the silver lining, I have to say that I have faith that in the end, he will go back to his original clarity.
This is what I want to get into. This is very important, because I don't want people to feel like, Raheem, you're throwing the baby out with the bathwater here. You know, you and I, Brigitte, and I think most of this audience as well, if not every single person in this audience, are very fair-minded people, right? We're willing to call it the way we see it. That doesn't mean that we find this to be an irredeemable situation or anything like that. Okay. And by the way, here's the thing. And
I want
to see if you agree with me on this. If radical Islam had appeared in any one of those speeches yesterday, if it had appeared in a tweet, if it had appeared in a press statement, anything like that, we wouldn't be banging on about the situation right now. Okay. It would have been slightly bad that, you know, the president maybe didn't say in his speech. We would have forgiven it as not an intentional move. The fact it wasn't in any of these speeches, the fact it wasn't in any communications out of the White House and the top people, that means it's intentional, right, Brigitte?
Exactly. Especially on 9/11 Memorial Day, Raheem. Especially on 9/11.
Michelle Bachman, your thoughts on this topic?
Well, again, I think that the president's gut instincts are right on this. I am concerned that the people around him, using the language radical Islam, was a good thing for President Trump to do, because he communicated, it was code language to normal, sane Americans, that there is a real problem with Islam in the United States, and these radical elements, as we all see are completely unacceptable and antithetical to an American way of life. But what would be even more important than using the code language of radical Islam would be if President Trump would announce that he is going to designate the Muslim Brotherhood mm-hmm. a foreign terrorist
yes,
organization.
Yes.
That's extremely important. I introduced that legislation when I was in Congress because the Muslim Brotherhood is the umbrella organization of at least 70 different terrorist franchises. There are multiple nations who've already designated the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization. If President Donald Trump would take that action, then everyone would recognize he's got this. But I'm concerned because I understand that his advisors encouraged him not to designate the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. And really, it is policy that comes out of the White House. Words are extremely important, but it is the policy. And the president can do that unilaterally. He doesn't even need Congress. Mm-hmm. He has the authority to designate a terror organization a terror organization. And when you do that, then multiple tools come into play for an administration to defeat that organization. It would tell radical Islam, we know who you are, we're on to you, and we are going to defeat you. Without that designation, the enemy still thinks that they have free play.
Well, I am concerned, and I've been very vocal and public about my concern over General H.R. McMaster, who is a globalist. He does not want to say radical Islam. He's in a very sensitive position, and he's one of the primary counselors to President Trump. He was one of the first to say that we shouldn't be using the term radical. I mean, it goes back to the Obama administration, which is, what we opened the program with, hoping we had gotten away from.
That's right. And, you know, there were other reports that came out about who McMaster's employers were and working for an organization.
Yes, exactly.
That George Soros had funded.
That's
this
right.
This particular organization was actually seeking to advance the Iran agreement that we need to repudiate, and that President Trump said he would rip up on his first day in
that's
office.
That's right.
So that's why I think this show is very, very important, because what you are doing, Jan, is you're helping your audience know, rather than wringing our hands, what can we do? This is a very clear, forthright item that we can be in prayer about. These are the most important voices that surround the president. And the president doesn't believe in having a huge staff and huge numbers of people. He just surrounds himself with a few people. And these few people are key. And these key people are concerning on
That's
the area
right.
of Israel, on the area of radical Islam, on the area of dealing with illegal immigration, the repeal of Obamacare. These are big, big, major league issues. And again, he has 4 years. So every day when he's not advancing the agenda that he campaigned on is one more day that's lost to try to pass these really big things. He has enough time to get this done. But the more that he is contained in the bubble, surrounded by people who don't agree with his campaign agenda, the less likely it is that we are going to actually get out of this morass that we voted to get out of last November.
Yeah. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line, rather than in studio, Michelle generally is in studio with me as she resides here in the Twin Cities, as I do, but I've found her today in New York City, and kind of explain that here in just a minute or two. She's one of my speakers, Understanding the Times, 2017, Saturday, October the 7th, Grace Church, Eden Prairie, Minnesota, suburb of Minneapolis. There's no cost, no registration. You just come on out. It's 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. We are encouraging you to arrive early, even for a good seat, 45 minutes early. You can go and grab a seat. You can hang on to it and go out and leisurely look at tables and things like that. But you need to arrive early also to avoid traffic on the way into the area of the conference in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. So the earlier you arrive, the less problems you're going to have once you get on site, Grace Church, Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Again, no cost, no registration. Other speakers, Amir Sarfati, Pastor J.D. Farag from Kaneohe, Hawaii, and Dr. Mark Hitchcock. Okay, Michelle Bachman, let's spend a little bit of time on something you have a passion for. Not that the previous topics, you don't have a passion for them as well, but I want to focus for a few minutes here on the United Nations. And right now, what finds you in New York City is you're on the sort of on site of the United Nations this past week. Here in September, the United Nations has been extremely active. I believe it's about the time this program is airing, the various meetings, again, two-state solution going on, Mahmoud Abbas, President Trump, Benjamin Netanyahu, that's been going on. Just give me your thoughts on that. I mean, we're not in the midst of those meetings. We don't know how they're going, but I am concerned about them because my hunch is we're talking about carving up a land that God says, you can't do that.
That's right. And that's why, rather than cursing the darkness, we've decided to light the candle. And so I've been working with churches and groups, and we came into New York City for the exclusive purpose. Everyone paid their own way. We came here for prayer. We came here to be near the UN and to walk the UN and to be in prayer over all of these crucial decisions that are happening right now. Because as you had stated, I think beginning in August, really going back to the time of the president going on his Saudi Arabia-Israel trip, his first foreign policy trip, we're very concerned about these meetings and putting pressure on the Jewish state because it's usually to force Israel to give something up. We don't want to see Jerusalem divided. It's the eternal, undivided capital of Israel, and we also don't want to see the biblical lands of Judea and Samaria put at risk or carved away from Israel, certainly not East Jerusalem either. So we decided to come here to the UN for the purpose of prayer. And we have been praying profoundly for the peace of Jerusalem and for Israel, for the Jewish people. But we've also been praying also for the leaders. The kings of the earth all gather here. Think of that. Think how profound that is. Every leader of all 193 countries was here in New York City this last week. It happens 1 week out of the year. The decisions that are made in this body are profound, especially as we're coming at this culmination of history. And that's why we were here. We walked inside the UN. We went into the General Assembly room. We prayed in that room for all of the speeches. We prayed in accordance with Scripture. Come, let us reason together. And we prayed according to Scripture over that room in the National Security Council room, in various committee rooms, and in the UN, on the grounds, in the garden, near the East River, all in even the areas where the protesters wanted to come. We prayed everywhere. And we were very serious about it. We had very serious, mature intercessors who came in. And I know that that is on the heart of many of your listeners. I've not been a big fan of the UN, but I know that God has a heart, a broken heart for the nations and for the peoples of this earth. And so we came in brokenness and humbleness, crying out to God for our world, where it's at. And I think this is something that I want to continue to do, to be in prayer and to work with people to come in and be a part of this prayer. But even if you can't come into New York, I'm calling on believers across the United States to be in prayer yourself personally or with your small group or with your church. Be in prayer about these days that we are in, whether it's at the UN, whether it's at the U.S. Capitol, at your state capitol, perhaps even in your own pulpit, perhaps even in your own home. This is a time to be serious and fervent in prayer. Not that all things are bad, they aren't, but our spiritual attendant needs to be attuned to the Holy Spirit of God. And we need to get our tuning right, listening to what the Lord is saying to us. We can have laughter and joy and happiness in our lives. That's the abundance that God wants to give us. But as we look around and see this darkness that seems to be enveloping us, we shouldn't be fearful. Just the opposite. We need to go forth on offense in leadership because that's the Holy Spirit. God has conquered, but he asks us to be his hands and feet. And that's what we've been doing in New York City. That's why I'm here today, and I thank you for graciously working with me to do this radio show out of New York. But be encouraged and have hope because believers haven't given up. They are actively seeking out ways that, as the Lord calls them, to be in about our Father's business. There's no more exciting time to do that than now.
I think, Michelle Bachman, in your perfect world, you really want to see the gospel of Jesus Christ given to the people at the United Nations. Yeah. There's 16,000 bureaucrats there, workers, employees of various kinds, diplomats. And do you think it's possible that that could happen?
I do. You know, there have been ministries here. Campus Crusade for Christ has had a Bible study. The Southern Baptist sponsored a prayer breakfast. So So it isn't that there hasn't been anything, but what we are praying and asking God for is to bring the gospel into, whether it's the secretariat or with the ambassadors. And so what we're doing right now is just seeking the Lord and praying. We're praying because personnel is policy. I saw that in Washington, D.C. So we're praying for the personnel, but mm-hmm. we're also praying for the policy, that it would come into line with the Bible and with what the Bible says.
And also, you said to me privately, you said that you want to be a part of an effort that would, even if it has to be a UN type of, probably won't be a proclamation, but a sentiment, let's put it that way, of the United Nations, but you would like to be a part of, let's put it that way, as a sentiment, Israel, you are not alone.
Oh, absolutely, because that's one thing that I think breaks my heart more than anything else. At the UN, the largest voting bloc is OIC,
yes,
the Organization
Islamic,
Islamic Cooperative.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have a great deal of sway because they're the largest voting bloc. And Israel has very, very few friends at the UN. That's part of why we were here in prayer, to be a friend, because we know that those who bless Israel will be blessed, Genesis 12:3, but we also know that we are commanded to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And as Jerusalem is under attack from the UN, not just on the Temple Mount, but from the UN, we wanted to be here ahead of time, before all of the kings of the earth gathered, so that the UN would be bathed in prayer. We came here and we prayed biblically, and so it was a privilege. That's all I could say, a mm-hmm. tremendous privilege to be able to be here.
Again, Michelle will be one of our speakers, Understanding the Times, 2017, Saturday, October the 7th, just outside Minneapolis, Grace Church, Eden Prairie. Starts 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. You can buy a lunch ticket the moment you walk in the door. You can bring a lunch, too, if you'd like. Last year, we had about 6,000 in attendance. May have probably about the same this year, roughly. So other speakers, Amir Sarfati from Israel, Pastor J.D. Farag, Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe, Hawaii, and Dr. Mark Hitchcock. Well, we'll help you understand the times, contend for the faith, become watchmen on the wall. Do you think we have some things to consider this fall? My goodness, I've talked about here with Michelle, things are exploding literally and figuratively around the world, and the world is going through incredible birth pains, and as I like to say, things are not falling apart, they are falling into place. We'll try to help you understand all of that, get a better perspective of it. Saturday, October the 7th. You can't come. Most of my listeners can't attend. We will have CDs and DVDs about a month later, probably around November 10th, 15th, CDs and DVDs available. I'm coming back in just a couple of minutes. We're going to wrap up this conversation. Michelle Bachman, I've found her in downtown New York City. Back in just a minute or two.
We count it a privilege to come into your home every week with biblical responses to current issues. It's vitally important for Christ followers to be informed on what is happening in culture. Believers in the know are better prepared to pray and to stand their ground to defend religious freedom. We deeply appreciate all of you who come alongside us with your prayers. You can help us meet our production budget in preparing this program when you mail your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. You can also give securely at our website, olivetreeviews.org. To purchase your own CD copy of today's broadcast, please call 763-559-4444. Jan Markell and Michelle Bachman return right after this.
Thanks to all of you who either pray or financially support this radio outreach. If you appreciate the inconvenient truth coming to your neighborhood, would you think about a one-time tax-deductible gift to Olive Tree Ministries? We have served the Christian community across North America and the world for 16 years. This ministry and radio outreach are committed to bringing you news and information you won't find many places. We are also committed to bringing you the good news that Jesus Christ is in charge of a decaying world, and he offers a lifeline of hope to everyone who calls on his name. You can give online at olivetreeviews.org, or you can call 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444, or drop us a note, Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. We have a message about today and tomorrow. because the King is coming back. We just want you to be ready and to know where you will spend eternity. This is Jan Markell keeping you informed on the issues of the day through the lens of the Bible. This is our mission as a ministry. We provide straightforward conversation with the best commentators on biblical truth every week right here on this station.
Next month, Michelle Bachman addresses our annual fall conference. We hope to see many of you at Grace Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota on October 7. We return now to Jan's latest discussion with Michelle Bachman.
And welcome back. Remember, you can get a CD of any program. Get a CD of this program if you'd like. You can give us a call and can make a CD subscriber. We have, I think, about 600 CD subscribers. Give us a call on that because we need to process those CD subscriptions with a credit card. Again, programming always posted to my website, Saturday morning, olivetreeviews.org. And in the few minutes that we have left, and I have Michelle Bachman on the line from New York City as she spent some time actually the entire last week or more at the United Nations, and we're going to just take a little bit different direction for my closing segment, because what's on a lot of people's mind has been this deferred action for childhood arrivals, otherwise known as DACA. And then that leads me kind of into a topic that I want Michelle to address. Quite frankly, it's the entire subject of immigration, not just what immigration is doing to America, what it's done to Europe. And Amir Sarfati is going to be addressing some of that at my conference, because one of his messages is Europe closer to the Antichrist, and quite frankly, how some of the Islamic immigration in Europe has just changed the complete, well, everything about Europe has been changed in the last, say, 5 to 10 years because of Islamic immigration. Michelle and I happen to live in the Twin Cities. We're very familiar with what Islamic immigration into Minnesota has done. And Michelle, as I say that, you know, you and I are not necessarily, we're not anti-immigration. My grandparents came from Russia. Yours, I likely came from a foreign country. But we also are very concerned as it concerns the Islamic immigration, Michelle, the issue of Sharia law, etc. You have a particular interest and a burden for this topic. Talk to me about it.
I do, because I see how the character of Europe and the United States are being changed by this mass migration coming primarily from Muslim nations. The real problem in Europe is this. You have primarily a Muslim population that has been coming en masse, 80% of whom are young Muslim males who are coming into Europe by the millions and transforming the face of Europe. And we're seeing that even within our lifetimes, that the Christianized West will be in the minority in European countries. In our lifetime, it takes very little time when you have that mass migration for the next population coming up to be Muslim. And that is completely changing the face of Christianized Europe. And I ask your audience, where do you go? Where do you go? Where do you find Christianity as a dominant religion? You find that in Europe, you find that in the United States, and you find that in Canada and in Australia, but you don't in a few other smaller countries. But these are the countries of the world that are leading like countries, and I believe that it's because of the faith in a biblical standard and a biblical God that has brought about enlightenment and prosperity for these nations. And we've been a light unto the world because the gospel is the light unto the world. But there's been an extinguishing of the gospel because of Islam coming into Western Europe. That's just been a fact.
Yeah.
Now we're seeing that in the United States coming in as well, and I think we need to be very concerned.
Well, you said to me that wherever you go, you ask people about their concerns about immigration. What are you hearing?
What I'm hearing is in community after community, through the so-called refugee resettlement program, the United States government has people come in and placed into the United States. It is done cooperatively between the United Nations and the United States State Department, with the UN choosing who the United States gets. So we're getting a huge number of people coming from very dysfunctional, primitive backgrounds where there is a lack of literacy and there's a belief system that is in alignment with Islamic Sharia law, which for all practical purposes is illegal in the United States if it's followed. For instance, it's illegal to freely beat your wife. It is illegal to rape your wife. It is illegal to cut the genitals off of a girl or to be married to four different people.
Yeah.
This is in part Sharia law, or to have permission to rape a woman who's not a Muslim. This is what Europe is dealing with.
Yeah.
And now the United States is dealing with this. Okay. And so that's why this is a big problem, and our government needs to protect the American people from an assault coming into our country.
Okay, and again, there's been recently, and then there's been this controversy, this conversation on DACA, again, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, DACA. 800,000 young people, heavily under age 35, some of them criminals, but some of them not criminals. Some of them even serving in our military, and that's why we have the conflict over the DACA people, young people. And we referred a little earlier to a tweet that Donald Trump sent out that would have been all the way back on September the 14th, and I want you to read it so we get it right, but it sounds like he really wants these DACA kids to stay. Read that tweet.
Sure. Donald Trump put out two tweets, as you said, about 10 days ago, and one said, "Does anybody really want to throw out good, educated, and accomplished young people who have jobs, some serving in the military? Really?" And then his next tweet says, "They have been in our country for many years through no fault of their own, brought in by parents at young age, plus big border security." So President Trump, in his own words, is disavowing what he said on the campaign trail. He said, and really not even just the campaign trail, 2 weeks before these tweets came out, his Attorney General Jeff Sessions said that the policy of the White House would be they would not uphold President Obama's illegal DACA announcement, which is he was going to give amnesty and did give amnesty, and they say it's 800,000 young people. Usually the government grossly undercounts the number. It's probably a far higher number than that. But what they want to do is give all the benefits of legalization of citizenship to people who broke the law to get into the United States. And the fact is, not everyone is good, not everyone's educated, not everyone's accomplished, not everyone has a job, not everyone has served in the military. So no one wants to be mean to them, but at the same time, when are we going to get a grip on our borders? Mm-hmm. When are there going to be consequences for breaking immigration laws? I don't get the benefit of the doubt if I break traffic laws or if I break banking laws. I have to serve my time. Why is it that people who come into the United States and take advantage of 88 welfare programs, for instance, in
welfare,
the United
that
States.
Is correct. These folks would get access to these 88 welfare programs.
Even though they are not supposed to, they still oftentimes do get access. Mm-hmm. And they absolutely are filling our emergency rooms all across the hospitals of the United States. That's where they go for their primary care. They go into an emergency room. They use their children are being educated in our school system by order of the Supreme Court of the United States. So there's huge costs that we are bearing. So President Trump said he was going to build the wall, but he was also going to do deportations. And he did not say on the campaign trail he was going to give amnesty to illegal aliens. This would not be a one-time deal, and this wouldn't be 800,000. Trust me, this would be multiple millions who would be given the benefit of citizenship. And remember, we have a huge number of senior citizens in this country who are dependent on Social Security and on Medicare and oftentimes on Medicaid. Now, baby boomers are about to retire, and there's a fewer number of people, younger people, supporting all these older people. We have a huge challenge trying to keep our promises with our current senior citizens. If you legalize all of these illegal aliens in our country, that will only serve as a magnet for millions more to swamp into the United States, and it will be increasingly difficult for us to keep our promises to our senior citizens. This is the number one issue that elected Donald Trump.
Right.
This is what elected him, because people wanted an end to bringing illegal aliens coming in and gaining advantages in our country, because the number one thing that happens is that wages stay lower in the United States and benefits stay lower.
Right.
Now, employers may like that, big employers, but the American people want to see wages go up,
well,
and they want benefits to go up, and it can't when there's an unending supply of unskilled workers coming into the United States.
We also want to see a wall, and as we speak, I don't think we know for certain. We opened the program talking about, I mean, the president certainly is crossing the aisle, and in some instances, that's not all bad. I think right now, it's not looking real good.
Well, but where's the Republicans?
But
why in the world?
They're out to lunch. That's why he's even doing it.
With the president's agenda.
I think that's the root of the issue, and I think that's the root of his confusion and why he's going across the aisle as he is. I hope in coming weeks, months, and even a couple of years, and if you can get in your evangelical advisory capacity and get some answers, I know my listeners would love to hear. Granted, we're in troubled times, and we're in times everything's upside down, just as Isaiah 5:20 prophesied would happen, and good's being called evil, evil's being called good, but at the same time, we're in a time that the prophets of old longed to see, and that's the last days.
That's right.
And you and I are looking up. We know our Redeemer draws nigh. We know the King is coming. And we also want our listeners to be ready for when the King comes. I want you to go out talking about that, please.
Yeah, because one thing you should know is that there are committed believers all across the United States who are praying and who are actively going out to fulfill the commandments of Jesus Christ, and they're trying to do everything that they can to further the gospel commission. That is our charge right now, and I tell you, all across the United States, I meet with believers who are more engaged than ever. That's where we need to be, and it's exciting because we get to be hand-in-hand partnering, bringing the gospel, especially as it shines a lot brighter as the darkness gets darker.
That is right.
It's a great time to minister.
Come on out and meet Michelle Saturday, October the 7th, Grace Church, Eden Prairie. Can't come on out, then check us out for CDs and DVDs around November 10th, 15th or so. We'll be starting to ship those out. Michelle, again, thank you for joining me. I caught you this time in New York City. Let me go out of the program saying this, folks. Again, we are in uncertain times. Headlines, I get it. I look at them every day. They're very dark. But we have a sure foundation, and it says in Isaiah 33:6, He, God, shall be the stability of your times, a wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. I want to ask you today, folks, call on His name today. He wants to offer you that stability, as well as wisdom, knowledge, and most of all, salvation. I want to thank you for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Thanks for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Across America and across the World Wide Web, we continue to report current events from a biblical perspective. Every week, this broadcast comes to you at no cost, but it costs us thousands of dollars. As we produce and distribute this weekend media outreach, would you consider becoming our partner? With an ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to keep informed. They need to be aware of current events as viewed through the lens of Scripture. Week after week, Jan Markell brings you a compelling hour of discussion to point out the dangers in today's culture and to bring hope through faith in Jesus Christ. Do consider joining us in this listener-supported ministry as our financial partner. Please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Contributions are also accepted at olivetreeviews.org or by phone when you call 763-559-4444. Don't forget, global updates with a biblical worldview are yours around the clock at olivetreeviews.org. We look forward to hearing from you very soon. We appreciate your continued prayer support for Jan and her media team. Next week, Jan Markell returns with another information and inspiration-packed hour designed to help you understand the times.